Blog Talk Radio.
Your place, love connection. Your place of prayer, love, acceptance, compassion, and empowerment. Here's your host, Dr. Susie.
Welcome, welcome to Your Place Love Connection Bible Study, your place of prayer, love, acceptance, compassion, and empowerment. We're so happy to have you with us this Tuesday, as we are every Tuesday, from 7 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Would you now join us as we go into devotion? We'll have a song by June Rochelle, worship. We'll have scripture by Eric Barnett Jefferson, and we will have a script, a prayer by Dr. James Nooks.
Now it's time to worship. Worship His name. Give Him all the glory.
Amen. Amen. We've been studying the book of Jonah, but tonight's reading is going to be the book of Psalms, the 139 book of Psalms, New Living Translation, the word of the Lord. O Lord, you have examined my heart and know everything about me. You know when I sit down or stand up. You know my every thought when far away. You chart the path ahead of me and tell me where to stop and rest. Every moment you know where I am. You know what I'm going to say even before I say it, Lord. You both proceed and follow me. You place your hand of blessings upon my head. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too great for me to know. I can never escape from your spirit. I can never get away from your presence. If I go up to heaven, you are there. If I go down to the place of the dead, you are there. If I ride the wings of the morning, if I dwell by the furthest ocean, even there your hand will guide me and your strength will support me. I could ask the darkness to hide me and the light around me to become night. But even in darkness, I cannot hide from you. To you, the night shines as bright as day. Darkness and light are both alike to you. You made all the delicate inner parts of my body. It knitted me together in my mother's womb. Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. Your workmanship is marvelous. And how well I know it. You watched me as I was being formed in utter seclusion. As I was woven together in the dark of the womb, you saw me before I was born. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out before a single day passed. How precious are your thoughts about me, O God. They are innumerable. I can't even count them. They outnumber the grains of sand. And when I wake up in the morning, you are still with me. I've read the 139 book of Psalms, verses 1 through 18. May the Lord add a blessing to the hearing, understanding, and doing of his holy word.
Amen. God, we come before you tonight. We're grateful to be studying your word. And we're grateful that you know us. And you see us, and there's no place that we can go that we can hide from you. You care about us. You hold us in your hand. You provide deliverance and strength and comfort for us. Even when we're running from ourselves, we can't run from you. And God, your love is amazing, and it finds us and keeps us and feeds us and strengthens us. Even in the midst of attacks from the enemy, God, your love is so overshadowing and overbearing, and it helps us. It overcomes even our sadness. It overcomes our anger. It overcomes our need for revenge. And God, we thank you and we ask you to bless us as we study your word. Help us to grow closer to you. God, you're reaching out your hands to us, and you will seek to embrace us. Even when we push away, God, you still are seeking us. Help us to reach out to you and come running. And we know that you'll have your arms open wide, saying, they were lost, but now they're found. They were blind, but now they see. Welcome, my son. Welcome, my daughter. And God, it's so refreshing to know that you welcome us. Bless this Bible study. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen, Dr. Nooks.
Amen. We are so glad to have these awesome people giving us support and leadership tonight. This is Your Place Love Connection Bible Study, and if you're interested in calling in, the number tonight to call is 646-478-4932. And if you have a question that you want to leave with us at the end of the show, or have for us to maybe some interested topics for discussion, feel free to give us a drop a line at drsusie.loveconnection@gmail.com. drsusie.loveconnection@gmail.com. Well, we're so excited again to have you with us tonight, and we've had this phenomenal study on the book of Jonah, and the topic has been, are you anything like Jonah? And we've had this discussion from the beginning of October the 3rd. This is our fifth week. And we started talking about, are you running from anything? Now, how many of us have not run from something? And there was a lesson that Brother Eric taught us about running. The second lesson was to teach us about, are you praying or talking? The third lesson was, are you going now? God told Jonah to go, and the question is, are you going now? And then last week, we discussed, are you angry with God? We have had four phenomenal lessons. And tonight's lesson kind of ties it all together. It says, are believers, talking about those of us who've accepted Christ as our personal Savior, are believers anything like Jonah? So, Brother Eric, if you are ready and you're excited as we are about teaching this lesson tonight, let's go, let's go, let's go.
Thank you, Dr. Susie. Is it possible to get a roll call? No, Dr. Nooks, Dr. Susie. We got anybody else there showing up who's going to participate? Is Brother Carter there? I know he's normally working. Brother Britt. All right, well, we'll get started. So let me, Dr. Susie and Dr. Nooks, let me give a little disclaimer to our listening audience.
Hello?
Are you there?
Yeah, Eric, this is Sean and Les. We're both here.
Hey, Lester, Sean. How are the two of you fine folks?
We're good.
Good. Well, let me give a disclaimer to the radio audience out there. You know, we're here every Tuesday, and we uplift the Lord's word and we fellowship, and I want those folks out there to know that we have trials and tribulations as well. That serving the Lord and becoming a believer of Jesus Christ does not give you immunity from troubles and trials and tribulations. And we all have them. And sometimes they are manageable and sometimes they aren't. But what we who have been here from the beginning understand is that our hope is in Christ Jesus. Our eternal hope is in Christ Jesus. Our daily hope is in Christ Jesus. Any hope that we have for anything is in Christ Jesus. And so hold on to that. When it gets rough, when you don't know which way is up, when you don't know if you can stand the storm, if you don't know if the sun is going to shine the next day, our hope is in Christ Jesus. And that storm will end, and the sun will come up, and you will know which way is up, and you'll be tested and refined as gold or refined as silver in the cubicle in the furnace. So, brothers and sisters, our hope is in Christ Jesus, and I want us to hold on to that. So as we look at our believers, anything like Jonah, we've kind of dissected Jonah, the good, the bad, and the ugly. We've seen some real good things. We've seen some warts. And today I really want to just kind of tie it all together, and I've got some questions that we're going to go through. And so, Dr. Nooks, if you've got a Bible, can you read Jonah chapter 1, verses 1 through, I believe it's 17? Go ahead and read that whole chapter, and we'll break that down with a couple of questions.
Jonah 1 through 17?
Yes, sir.
Okay, just a minute. Okay, this is the NIV. The word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai. Go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it, because its wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah ran away from the Lord and headed for Tarshish. He went down to Joppa, where he found a ship bound for that port. After paying the fare, he went aboard and sailed for Tarshish to flee from the Lord. Then the Lord sent a great wind on the sea, and such a violent storm arose that the ship threatened to break up. All the sailors were afraid, and each cried out to his own God. They threw the cargo into the sea to lighten the ship. But Jonah had gone below deck, where he lay down and fell into a deep sleep. The captain went to him and said, "How can you sleep? Get up and call on your God. Maybe he will take notice of us so that we will not perish." Then the sailors said to each other, "Come, let us cast lots to find out who is responsible for this calamity." They cast lots, and the lot fell on Jonah. So they asked him, "Tell us, who is responsible for making all this trouble for us? What kind of work do you do? Where do you come from? What is your country? From what people are you?" He answered, "I am a Hebrew, and I worship the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land." This terrified them, and they said, and they asked, "What have you done?" They knew he was running away from the Lord, because he had already told them so. The sea was getting rougher and rougher. So they asked him, "What should we do to you to make the sea calm down for us? Pick me up and throw me into the sea," he replied, "and it will become calm. I know that it is my fault that this great storm has come upon you." Instead, the men did their best to row back to land, but they could not, for the sea grew even wilder than before. Then they cried out to the Lord, "Please, Lord, do not let us die for taking this man's life. Do not hold us accountable for killing an innocent man. For you, Lord, have done as you please." Then they took Jonah and threw him overboard, and the raging sea grew calm. At this, the men greatly feared the Lord, and they offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made vows to him. Now the Lord provided a huge fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights.
Thank you, Dr. Nooks. So, let me ask this question. What normally happens when we don't follow God's will?
We've learned, this is Dr. Susie. One of the things we learned is God says, "I give you over to a reprobate mind. Do what you want to do."
God has said that. That happens. Any other things happen?
So their consequences. Yeah, their consequences as a result of that.
Yeah.
You normally get in trouble. It's a problem. You're walking in. You're in the danger zone.
danger, Will Robinson. Danger.
If you're trying to follow God, speaking personally, my life got rough when I ran from God. It got rougher, and I encountered storms and difficulties. People that don't have any connection with God, they're not really running from God. They're just trying to follow their own desires and wants. And to them, it might seem like things are okay, because they don't know the beauty and the wonder of being with God. But running from God, for me, I had all kinds of storms in my life. And only storm only calmed down when I decided, yes, Lord. So that's the way it's been for me.
And that's what you see here. You see God giving Jonah a declaration to do a work, and you see Jonah resisting, wanting to do his own thing, giving over to his own mind. Well, now I ain't doing that. I'm going the other way. But something interesting happens here is that God's awesome power is now revealed to folks who didn't know him.
Amen.
And so even in Jonah's disobedience, there are some folks who come to know the Lord. They come to know God and his awesome power. And it says that, you know, towards the end that when they threw Jonah in, and when we first started, I said it was pretty amazing that Jonah knew how to stop the storm, and he could have affected everybody's life had he just jumped on into the water.
Well,
but he didn't. Because he wasn't too concerned about saving their lives. He told them, throw me in. And I really haven't dissected why he told them that, other than, you know, kind of, well, I don't want to throw myself in and drown if I can stay alive. But they threw him
that's
in.
That's kind of hard to do, Brother Eric. That's kind of, I think it's hard to kill yourself.
Well,
and I think it's easier for somebody else to do it.
And that's what I was getting at, Dr. Susan. You're absolutely right. It's self-preservation. I mean, we want to preserve our own selves.
But if he had done that, Brother Teacher, then God may not have gotten the glory in the deliverance.
Right. Absolutely.
God's hand
that's absolutely
is at
right.
work, even in difficult times and storms, and sometimes when we don't think. God's hand is in something. God's hand is there, and you know the people would not have called out to God if they didn't know that this was
if
God.
If he had just jumped in.
If he had just jumped in, yeah. Jonah had to say something
right, in
order for them to know that that was God, and for them to understand that God was delivering them when the sea calmed, and then they gave God glory. So,
absolutely right.
And Brother Nooks, Dr. Nooks, it was also, they played a part in it. So they were connected. I mean, and you can see their struggle because it says they were trying to row back. So God,
yes.
They had become integrated and involved because of their in the struggle. And that struggle became something that helped bring a deliverance, at least an acknowledgement of that there was who Jonah's God was, and they said they worshiped
and Jonah told them that I worship the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the land. Now these were sailors, so they knew all about the sea, and yet they're praying to their gods, and the storm is getting worse. And Jonah says, "Well, I serve the God of heaven who made the sea and the land." And now they're like, oh, okay, well, wait a minute. Now, that kind of trumps who I've been praying to, because I've never heard nobody say that they served the one who made the sea and the land. And so now they're trying to even, and it's amazing to me, they're throwing over cargo that doesn't even belong to them. We do realize that, right?
Amen.
Right? That cargo does not belong to them. They're only the transporters. And they're like, oh, wait a minute, we got to toss this over because we can't get there. And so Jonah, being disobedient, has still managed, through God's hand, to witness to the sailors on the ship.
All right.
Amen.
Which is a positive thing. God took the negative, the disobedience of Jonah, and still gets the glory for witnessing to the souls on this ship who now come to understand that God is a God and the only true God, and they sacrifice to him, and then it says that they worship him.
But what's even more phenomenal, Eric, is the captain had to go get Jonah and call him to prayer. The captain
now think about that.
Yeah.
Think about that. That this storm is going on, and it's raging so fierce that they're about to lose their life, and he's down in the ship, sound asleep.
But isn't that interesting how someone can be insensitive to danger, especially when it involves other folk?
Well, that's true. But I submit to you that he was so secure in his relationship to God that he wasn't concerned, even though he was disobedient.
Right.
I mean, can anybody tell me the what they think are the three most satisfying things in the world? And we got a bunch of people that's gonna say a bunch of things, but how many of us can function if we don't rest well at night?
There you go.
So sleep is one.
Sleep is one of the most important things in the world. How many of us can function if we can't rest at night? And if you don't have a secure relationship with God, you might, I'm not saying you are, but you might find sleep not as sweet and as peaceful. Because we worry about everything. We're concerned about everything. This happened. This didn't happen. I got him facing this. I'm going through this. You know, this is hounding me. I got to make the next rent payment. I gotta get shoes for the baby. I got to get tires on the car. I gotta deal with somebody at work that I'm having issues with.
Mm-hmm.
And the only hope in calming all of that is the Lord.
There you go.
Amen.
There is no other hope in calming that other than the Lord. So yeah, he was insensitive to everybody else's concerns, but he was secure in his relationship that he felt he could go down there and go to sleep, even though he's willfully done exactly the opposite of what the Lord asked him to do.
All right.
Do we have we been Christians like that before, that we knew that we did opposite what the Lord asked us to do, and yet we went on like, hey, no big deal. I'm good. I'm still covered.
Hmm.
There you go.
And I say that to say this, that even when we are outside, if we belong to God, let me preface that. If we belong to God and we've accepted Christ and we've accepted the Lord to lead us, even when we are a little bit offline, the Lord still looks after us. He still has use for us. He hasn't turned his back completely on us. And how do I know that? Can somebody start? It says that the Lord had arranged for a great fish to swallow up Jonah. And Jonah was inside the fish for 3 days and three nights. And not dead. Because he could have went into the ocean and drowned, float, you know, swam like a rock straight to the bottom.
Yep.
But he didn't.
All
so
right.
The Lord prepared this fish. And so now can Brett, you have a Bible with you, brother?
Yes, I do. But before,
can you read Jonah 2, verses 1 through 10? So the great fish has swallowed Jonah, and he's in the belly of the great fish. And he has
right.
an epiphany of sorts. So, Brett, can you read chapter 2, verses 1 through 10, please?
Sure. In my distress, I called to the Lord, and he answered me. From deep in the realm of the dead, I called for help, and you listened to my cry. You hurled me into the depths, into the very heart of the seas, and the currents swirled about me. All your ways and breakers swept over me. I said, I have been banished from your sight. Yet I will look again towards your holy temple. The engulfing waters threatened me. The deep surrounded me. Seaweed was wrapped around my head. To the roots of the mountains, I sank down. The earth beneath barred me from forever. But you, Lord, my God, brought my life up from the pit. And my life was ebbed away. I remembered you, Lord, and my prayer rose to you, to your holy temple. Those who cling to worthlessness, idols, turned away from God's love for them. But I will shout and I with shouts of grateful praise will sacrifice to you what I have vowed I will make good. I will say salvation comes from the Lord, and the Lord commanded the fish, and it vomited Jonah onto dry land.
Amen. So when we went through that in week two, we talked about, are you praying or are you talking? And so Jonah has this, he understands where he is. He understands what is transpiring. He knows that he's running from the Lord. He knows that the Lord has caused this great storm. He witnessed to the sailors. And now he goes into this prayer. And does anybody find it interesting that it's not a prayer that most Christians pray, because we're praying about things that are going on right now? Jonah seems to be praying about things that he has already been aware of. He says, I cried out to the Lord in my great trouble. Well, yeah, he's in great trouble now, but it kind of seems that he's talking about trouble before.
All right.
And he answered me, and I called him from the world of the dead. Well, he's not quite dead yet, but he's speaking as if he's been there before. And what I really want to draw our attention to is that how many of us, when we are praying, reminds the Lord of what he's already done for us? Is that normally
what we do, or do
we just launch into what we need right now, what we're facing right now?
Yeah, some of us talk about what he's done. A lot of us, we talk about what we need right now. So,
amen.
And it depends on where you're at the time.
Right. And so let me ask this question. So what good is prayer if you're running from God's will? Now, that's a softball question. I mean, that's a, like, 18-inch softball question there. Well, that's an underhand lob. What good is prayer if you run away from God's will? Sean? Lester? Come on, peoples. It's always good to pray.
We even in our distress, I mean, I think a lot of us are running from God when we pray.
Hello?
But God still hears us. Who is that?
Lester Garver. Oh. I think you're right.
Okay.
I think that, you know, a lot of us, just like you said, we are running from God while we're praying, when we're praying against God's will, because God says before we ask for anything, we're to forgive. How many of us offer our prayers to God without forgiving those who have transgressed against us? And God said, I'm not even hearing your prayer. So we're like talking into the wind, right? How similar is that to Jonah's situation? Because basically Jonah didn't want to go on this assignment because he was offended by the fact that he knew God was going to deliver these people who had persecuted his people, right? How is it with us when we are in a position to bless others by forgiving them, knowing that that's what's going to allow our prayers to get through, but we decide not to forgive? So we might as well not be praying at all, correct?
That's what it seems like. But God does hear Jonah. God does hear him in this instance. And so what that tells me, and this is Eric, what that tells me is that when we come to God with a repentant heart, even after we have not done what he's asked us to do, he can show us the error of our ways and point us in the right direction. If we are listening, because what we're going to find as we get into to chapter 3 is, and we ask that question, are you going now? So God hears him and says, okay, Jonah, I hear you. Now I'm going to see if you're sincere about what we've been talking about. Now that you've gone the other way and I had to bring you back. And can you imagine spending 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of a great fish? Yeah.
No.
Mm-hmm. And you know, we never hear of it happening anywhere else.
Well, I don't need it to happen anywhere else because I'm just thinking, how nasty is that? How repulsive is that? How dirty is that? I mean, but how many of us have spent? But right, it saved me. But how many of us have spent 3 days and three nights in literal hell for stuff that we're going through and stuff that we need to be doing and how it affects our mind and our body and the stress that it puts on us because we chose not to do what God asked us to do? I mean, Dr. Lutz talks about it clearly, and I've shared my story about that too. I mean, God still hears you, but life ain't fun.
No.
There you go.
And it's not fun for Jonah right now.
Right.
But he musters his prayer. And I told y'all in week two, I in my mind it was a backhanded prayer a little bit because he talks about, you know, I cried out to the Lord in my great trouble and he answered me and I called him from the world of the dead. And the Lord heard me. And he said, you threw me into the ocean deep, and I sank down to the heart of the sea. I was buried beneath your wild and stormy waves. Then I said, oh, Lord, you have driven me from your presence. How will I ever again see your holy temple? Well, the Lord didn't drive Jonah away from his presence. Jonah drove Jonah away from the Lord's presence.
There you go.
Yeah.
And how many of us, and that's a real question, how many of us when we do something to get ourselves into trouble, we be like, well, Lord, why did you let that happen? Why did you, you know, why didn't you step in and do this? Why didn't you, and the Lord is like, wait a minute, I gave you direction, you chose to go the other way. And as Dr. Susie said, with choices come consequences.
Amen.
Hey, and we have to accept those consequences.
But I think that's always the issue, Eric. I think we always want to defer. And I think we've said this over and over about the amount of self-reflection we need to do in our personal lives to make sure that we're staying in the correct relationship with God and we're listening, hearing, and doing what we need to do. And I think that's something we need to take home. Is make sure we're doing our personal reflection constantly through God's lenses, not ours or other people's, but through what we know God wants us to do so that we can continue to strive, not that we're going to always hit the mark. And that's what sin is when you miss the mark. But when we strive to do what God asks us to do.
Amen.
Right. Hey, And not, let me just say this, and I think I heard somebody else, and not trying to blame someone else for it, whether it be God or someone else.
That's right.
I mean, we see that a lot that happens. And my favorite one was Adam. You know, Adam, you heard what I said. Did you eat of that, the woman you gave me? Well,
yep.
Wait a minute. Hey, accept your responsibility. Yes, Lord, I did. You told me not to. But we are good at that. In almost every area of our lives where we make a decision and it don't go the way that we think it needs to go, and it can't go, but bad, and then we want to find someone else to blame. And I'll tell this story, and I absolutely mean it, and, my wife isn't here to hear it, but I tell her too. There are always people asking, well, what should I do? What should I do? What should I do? And I'm like, that's a decision you need to make. Now, I will give you the pros and cons of whatever decision you make, but you need to make that decision because you're not going to hold me responsible for it.
There you go.
Yes.
Okay. This reminds me so much of what goes on in everybody's house that has kids. Jonah is doing exactly the same thing that kids do today. You know where I'm going
yep.
with this, right?
Yep.
Now, mama tells you to do something or daddy tells you to do something. You don't do what you're told to do, and you get in trouble for it. You get back home and you get a whipping for it. Well, why are you getting whipped? You're praying. Making all kinds of promises. I'm not going to do this again. And you just wanted to see. That's what Jonah did,
Yeah.
So the thing is, sometimes somebody's got to get your attention because you're going to do what you want to do, thinking you're big enough to do that. And see, God said, I got you. Come back here. You got to do what I told you to do and do it the first time. So from here on in, once you learn this lesson, you will go ahead and do what I tell you to do. And that's exactly what happens with kids today. They do the
Brett,
same thing.
Brett, it happens
yes.
with adults too.
Sure. But
it don't just happen with kids.
That's what I was going to say, because as we grow up, we continue to do the same thing and try to get away from it. And as adults, when you know God, when you start trying to live a good life and you still do something that goes against him, you have those consequences that come. It could be sickness. It could be death. It could be losing your job. It could be having a car accident. It could be almost anything that could happen. But there's got to be something that brings you back in line where you needed to be in the first place. That's all I was going to say.
Hey, amen.
Peter, I think it's important that some of our listeners that might be listening yet, maybe some of them are going through hell right now, and maybe they feel like they're in hell.
There you
and,
go.
And been going through some difficult times, and they're in them right now. They need to understand that calling on God is important right now in their situation, and God can deliver them from that situation. Don't give up hope.
Amen.
You're going to do something right now. Know that God still can hear you.
Amen.
And deliver you. And I think somebody
and deliver you.
Amen.
And let me before I go to if someone can get Jonah chapter 3, we're going to read verses 1-10. But let me read this from Ecclesiastics. Let me read this from Ecclesiastics 12, starting at verse 9 through 14. Because the teacher was wise, he taught the people everything he knew. He collected proverbs and classified them. Indeed, the teacher taught the plain truth, and he did so in an interesting way. A wise teacher's word spurs students to action and emphasizes important truths. The collected sayings of the wise are like guidance for a shepherd. But my child, be warned, there is no end of opinions ready to be expressed. Studying them can go on forever and become very exhausting. Here is my final conclusion. fear God, not fear as in being afraid, but reverence to God, and obey his commandments. For this is the duty of every person. God will judge us for everything we do, including every secret thing, whether good or bad.
Amen.
So through that lens, let's look at Jonah chapter 3, verses 1 through 10.
I have it.
Okay, Dr. Susie, go ahead, please.
I'm reading from the Message.
All right.
Next, God spoke to Jonah a second time. Up on your feet and on your way to the big city of Nineveh, preach to them. They're in a bad way, and I can't ignore it any longer. This time, Jonah started off straight for Nineveh. Whoa, something new. Y'all hear that? This time.
Are you going now?
Obeying God's order to the letter, okay? Nineveh was a big city, very big. It took 3 days to walk across it. Jonah entered the city, went 1 day's walk, and preached. In 40 days, Nineveh will be smashed. The people of Nineveh listened and trusted God. They proclaimed a citywide fast and dressed in burlap to show their repentance. Everyone did it, rich and poor, famous and obscure, leaders and followers. And when the message reached the king of Nineveh, he got up off his throne, threw down his royal robes, dressed in burlap, and sat down in the dirt. Then he issued a public proclamation throughout Nineveh, authorized by him and his leaders. Not one drop of water, not one bite of food for man, woman, or animal, including your herds and flocks. Dress them all, both people and animals, in burlap and send up a cry for help to God. Everyone must turn around, turn back from an evil life and the violent ways that stain their hands. Who knows? Maybe God will turn around and change his mind about us. Quit being angry with us and let us live. God saw what they had done, that they had turned away from their evil lives. He did change his mind about them. What he said he would do to them, he didn't do.
Amen.
Amen. So Jonah now goes to Nineveh, obedient to and follows the letter of the law. A huge city, 3 days to walk across it. And he preaches. He delivers God's word. And God's word has a changing effect. God's word will not return void. God's word will change lives.
Amen.
And here we see it. A whole city. A whole kingdom. Even a king who has all authority comes to know the true living God. Comes off his throne, puts on burlap, sets in the dust, and tells everybody else to don't eat, don't drink. Not only you, but your kids and the animals that you have.
Well,
we all going on a fast. We all going to revival. And maybe,
all right.
Just maybe, God will see and have mercy on us. And God did. And so what should our attitude be when we see God at work? What should our attitude be when we see God at work? Should it be that, oh, Lord, you know, why are you doing that to them? You need to be concentrating on me? Should it be, you know, Lord, well wait a minute now, I'm here too. Should it be, no, you shouldn't be doing that to them, Lord. They mistreated me. They did me wrong. You're supposed to smite them. You're supposed to bypass them. What should our attitude be? Or should it be, Lord, let your will and your glory be done in everybody's life so that
Amen.
We all can worship you?
Yeah, we ought to be rejoicing even if our enemies get blessed. But we have a hard time with that. You know, as we talked before, these people were killing the Israelites. They were skinning them alive. They were sticking them on stakes. They were cutting their heads off. So you can understand why Jonah was afraid to go there and preach, because he was preaching to his enemies. And it's amazing how what the word of God will do and how God had prepared Jonah and prepared the Ninevites to receive the word of God. And he didn't have some long message. His message was very simple. In 40 days, Nineveh will be destroyed. He just kept saying it over and over again. You know, we have our messages we have to prepare. God gave him a message. Say it the way I told you. In 40 days, Nineveh will be destroyed. In 40 days, Nineveh will be destroyed. In 40 days, Nineveh will be destroyed. Can you imagine just going through the city, preaching that message? In 40 days, Nineveh will be destroyed. This crazy man got spit out of a fish, in a fish's belly for 3 days. Now he's going through the city, preaching this word, his same old sermon. And everybody believed him. This is amazing. Can you imagine? The city of Indianapolis, everybody believing the
everybody
word.
Everybody believing the word, right?
Yeah.
Everybody hearing the message and believing the message.
And they were the enemies of this person that was preaching it. They were the enemies. This was not, you know, they were not Israelites. They were not Hebrew. These were Ninevites.
They weren't even worshippers of the true living God.
No.
Dr. Nooks, you know, one of the reasons they believe was probably because of what they heard happen with Jonah on that ship. And you know that word went before him, right? So when you hear the spokesman for the living God who created the heavens and the earth has something to say, you're going to pay attention.
I'm sure that word went out too, but let me, brothers and sisters, let me say this: that whenever we are doing what God has asked us to do, God's light shines through you, and people can see that.
Amen.
You may not realize that it's there, but people can see that. They can see the hand of God on you and working through you. And so if you're being obedient and doing it the way that it needs to be done, they can see that. And I'm sure they heard, and you're absolutely right, Brother Carver, that word did go forth. But I bet they saw that in him too. I bet they saw that man, he is delivering this word with conviction, and we can see the Lord. And because it says that, you know, he's saying that in 40 days it'll be destroyed. But what did the king say? That perhaps even yet God will have pity on us and hold back his fierce anger from destroying us.
Amen.
Yeah, they heard about it.
So there is, if you are, when you are a child of God and you have that relationship with God, God's light illuminates in your vessel.
My Lord.
And I think we forget that because we're too busy trying to extinguish it. We don't want nobody to know. Yeah. We don't want nobody to know we're a Christian these days.
Come on.
Amen. You know, Brother Eric, I'm celebrating, thinking about a time when I preached the word and somebody said she's preaching too much Bible and they wanted me to leave because of it. You know, here Jonah is. He's telling it like it is, straight up, and it, not sugarcoating it. He just gave it straight, and it had power. So if we just trust the word when it goes forth, and you know, I don't know how many ministers go, how did my sermon go? How did this go? At some point in time, as you preach and you teach and you share God's word, including those of us who are on this line, we learn that the word itself is not going to go out and come back void. God promises
absolutely.
It. This is not about us, our program. It wasn't about Jonah's program. This was God's program. And God was going to see forth that his mission was accomplished. And so we got to remember whose program it is.
Amen.
Amen.
We do. Amen, Dr. Susie. And we got to quit trying to extinguish that light. Embrace it. Carry it
well,
forth.
Amen.
Because it is of God. He has put it in you in an earthen vessel. He has put it in you. And so I want to end tonight, and I'm going to read Jonah 4, 1 through 11. And this is it. And then I've got one question asked. Well, actually two questions. This change of plans upset Jonah, and he became very angry. So he complained to the Lord about it. Didn't I say before I left home that you wouldn't do this, Lord? That is why I ran to Tarshish. I knew that you were a gracious, compassionate God, slow to get angry and filled with unfailing love. I'd rather die than be alive because nothing I predicted is going to happen. The Lord replied, is it right for you to be angry about this? Then Jonah went out to the east side of the city and made a shelter to sit up under and wait to see what if anything was going to happen to the city. And the Lord God arranged for a leafy plant to grow there, and soon it spread its broad leaves over Jonah's head, shading him from the sun. This eased some of his discomfort, and Jonah was very grateful for the plant. But God also prepared a worm. The next morning, at dawn, the worm ate through the stem of the plant so that it soon died and withered away. And as the sun grew hotter, God sent a scorching east wind to blow on Jonah. The sun beat down on his head until he grew faint and wished to die a second time, mind you. Death is certainly better than this, he exclaimed. Then God said to Jonah, is it right for you to be angry because the plant died? Yes, Jonah retorted, even angry enough to die a third time. Then the Lord said, you feel sorry about the plant, though you did nothing to put it there. And the plant is only at best short-lived. But Nineveh has more than 120,000 people living in spiritual darkness, not to mention all the animals. Shouldn't I feel sorry about such a great city? So, two questions. One, do we ever have a right to be angry with God?
No.
That would be a resounding no.
There you go.
The creation never has a right to be angry with the Creator. The Creator made you and has the right to decide and do whatever the Creator decides to do. But my last question, are you anything like Jonah? And you need to answer this for yourselves, brothers and sisters. Are you anything like Jonah? And if so, in what way? Are you the praying Jonah? Are you the complaining Jonah? Are you the delivering the message Jonah? Are you the angry Jonah because the message didn't go the way that you thought it should go after you delivered it? Because I suspect that we all have different aspects of Jonah as we've studied this book. And what I submit to us tonight is that we need to find out to be the Jonah that God needs us to be in our lives to make sure that he gets the glory and we deliver his message to this dying world.
Amen.
With that, Dr. Amen. Susie, I'll turn it back to you.
Amen, amen, amen. Awesome, awesome teaching of the Word of God. Thank you, Brother Eric. At this point in time, I wanted to know, I'd like everybody to create a take home from this lesson that they had in their mind. And as you're creating your take home, are there prayers and concerns, praise reports and prayer concerns that we need to lift up? Because we got people who are struggling. I asked for a position. I'm Dr. Susie. I'm asking for a permanent position where I can serve the Lord and be obedient to that which he's called me to do. I'm asking as well for the health of my son, and my daughter's trying to get settled, that you would pray for our family. I'm asking that you would pray for our country as we are in flux and have been for some time. I'm asking that people would be aware that they're trying to do RFDs and plant these things under people's skins And what does that mean as we come down to looking at the mark of the beast? I'm asking that we pray and be conscious about the things in the world that are taking place so we know where we are at the end of the times. I'm asking that as well that we pray for next week's Bible study, as Brother Lester will be bringing to us the topic of eternal salvation. So that's a lot from me. Are there others who have something? Oh, and to pray for Dr. Edwards and Brother Mark. D is struggling still over his brother. Pray for Carmen and the people in the radio audience. Needs for water and shelter for those in the islands that have been hit by hurricanes, that we would have prayer surrounding food and shelter and finances to meet bills and to pay, to take care of our families. So as we go forward, if there's no one else, anybody else have any prayer concerns or praise reports?
This is Britt. Just pray for me and my son.
Amen. Brother Lester, Sean, Eric, Dr. Nooks. Without further ado, then, I'll just ask if we could just sum up as we close out tonight. Brother Nooks, if you would be last and close us in prayer, I'll ask Sean and Lester to start, and then Brett, if you would go next. Lester, would you kick us off with a summation of what your take home
ma'am.
Is tonight?
My takeaway from tonight is that we want to do God's things God's way so that his will is done.
Amen. Amen. This is Sean.
Yeah, this is Sean. My takeaway is to be grateful for what God has created me to be, and to have the courage and to trust, you know, that it's okay to walk in what, you know, he's created.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Brother Britt.
This is Britt. No matter what you're going through, always obey God's word, because you don't want his wrath to come back on you.
Amen. And this is Dr. Susie, then Brother Eric. I guess what's really touching my heart tonight is that even when we miss the mark, that God is still there and working with us, no matter how frustrated, angry, childlike, insecure, he's still reaching out for us to turn back, to do a metanoia, the turning away from our shortcoming and our sin and turning back to him and about being about God's business. And I just thank God
Amen.
For that take home tonight. Brother Eric, any last words before Dr. Nick closes us with prayer? So Dr. Nick.
Well, I take away that God is able, and I understand my fallibility, and I identify a lot with what Jonah went through, and understand that I've gone through many of those things. But even in all that and through all that, God loves me anyhow, and I'm grateful for that.
Amen.
And God that loves us anyhow, the God of anyhow, we lift our voices to you tonight and just express our gratitude to you. You are an awesome God. Your ways are beyond our understanding. God, I'm glad it's you that saved us. I'm glad it's you that made us and keeps us, protects this planet, our air and our water, and directs the heads of state, the kings and the rulers, And God, I'm glad that you are above Satan, who tempts us and deceives us and lies to us and gets in the mind and the voices of many people that lie to us. And God, your truth will shine and does shine forth. God, bless your people who are standing up for what is right in this world that teaches us that it's okay to sit down and to back up and be silent because we might get ahead. But the advances we make in this world are not necessarily recognized by God, who rules this world and all worlds. God, help us to see you in other people, in your creation, and even in us, in our fallibility. God, we don't know why you love us so much and put up with us so much. Help us to not be runners from you, but help us to be runners to you. And help us to be that light that you told us we ought to be on the hill, in the salt that had not lost its savor. Help us to be effective in this world, God, and understand that we have the ability to do great things, not because of who we are, but because of who you are. And God, we want to lift up Dr. Susie to you tonight, our leader. Just ask you to bless her in a special way. She's been a blessing to us and so many other people. And God, she's endured much. And we just ask you to bless her with a permanent position, ministry position, and all the resources that she needs, God. And we ask you to bless her son, James, and her daughter, Sydney, been in the hospital. Sydney is moving. And God, we ask you to bless this country.
Amen.
My Lord, how divided we are. How misinformed we are. And we have people plotting against us from other countries, poisoning our minds through the internet, Facebook, and Twitter. And God, we're deceived by so many lies on TV. Lord, we pray that your voice will be heard, that truth will be heard, and that we will become more loving. God, I pray for kindness for our people, and to stop warring with each other so much. God, we pray for our country, our leaders. And God, we pray that we can open our eyes and see clearly. Dr. Susie said, conscious of what's going on around us. And God, we pray for the Bible study. We pray a special prayer for Minister Lester Carver as he brings the lesson next month on salvation. Lord, we need to understand that you save to the utmost. You save. And we pray for Dr. Edwards and Mark and Dee, Carmen. We pray for Brother Brett and his son. We pray for finances. So many people, God, need a blessing, financial blessing. And we pray for that right now. And they need a spiritual blessing. Our spirits are low. We are, many of us are depressed. We're hurt. We're hurting each other, hurting ourselves. God, I pray that you would lift that spirit of depression off of this country, off of so many people's lives. And I pray that you put a spirit of understanding and love and kindness and generosity into our minds and in our hearts, that we might be the loving people that you need us to be, that people would want to come to you. They might come running and say, what must I do to be saved? And God, right now we're asking that you would bless many people that are listening in, that they would understand that you are there, even if they're in the belly of a fish. You hear their call. Help them to understand that you are a loving God and that you want to reach them and save them and deliver them to dry land. There may be someone that's listening in tonight, God, that really knows that they're in that position right now and they need to make a change in their life. And we pray that they can pray this prayer. God, I know that I'm a sinner. And I know that you are God. And I believe in your son, Jesus. I'm confessing with my mouth the Lord Jesus and believing in my heart that you raised him from the dead. And I give my life to you. And I want you to come into my life and be my Savior. To be my Lord and Savior.
Amen.
I give my life to you right now. And I accept you. And God, I know that you accept me. In Jesus' name, we pray to you. If you pray that prayer with me, you're safe. And God, we thank you for all that you've done tonight. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen.
Yes.
Amen. Amen. We'd like to thank those of you who joined us tonight. Please feel
Amen.
Free to call in next week at 646-478-4932. And if you want to drop us a line, feel free to do so at drsusie.loveconnection@gmail.com. Thank you for joining us, and we look forward to being with us next week.
Thanks for listening to Your Place Love Connection, your place of prayer, love, acceptance, compassion, and empowerment.
I'm not getting a number. I'm not getting a number.